Mars Incorporated, makers of America's most enjoyable candy bars, present...
Guttenstein!
Makers of Milky Way candy bars welcome you to Curtain Time. At the moment, the lobby is filled with gay theatergoers, all anxious to see the new play. And here, as eager as the rest, is the well-known man about town, your host, Patrick Allen.
Good evening.
Well, Mr. Allen, what's afoot this evening?
Don't tell anyone, John, but murder's afoot. But there's the overture, so we'd better hurry inside the theater for tonight's production of Curtain Time.
Tickets, please. Thank you, sir. Seventh row center. Seats 7 and 8.
Well, these are wonderful seats. But the curtain will go up in just a minute, so let's glance through the program. Harry Elders and Nana Sargent, supported by the Milky Way Players, are starred tonight in Lightning Strikes Twice. Mr. Elders will play the part of Dave Parker, and Miss Sargent is cast as Judy Forrest.
Curtain time!
There's the call for the first act of Lightning Strikes Twice. The scene is a study in the palatial suburban home of Crane Caldwell, the well-known detective story writer. At the moment, Caldwell and his attractive secretary, Judy Forrest, are in the midst of a rather heated discussion.
Judy, I just don't know what you're talking about.
Mr. Caldwell, it's not right, and you know it.
Oh, come.
Honestly, it sounds as though it were written by some amateur instead of by Crane Caldwell, the world's greatest mystery story writer, as your publisher so modestly puts it.
You mean that couldn't be true?
Oh, well, I'm only your secretary.
Young lady, you know I always appreciate your criticism, but this time you're wrong. The Corpse Has Wings is going to be one of my best books.
I'm only insisting that the stuff you dictated to me yesterday is some of the worst writing you've ever done.
All right, all right. Give me an example.
That letter which Avis wrote to Larry.
What's the matter with that?
Oh, here, now let me show you.
Very well, I'm always open to conviction.
No, here it is.
All right.
Now, let me see. Oh, yes, beginning at the bottom of the page. Mm. Claude started to speak, hesitated, and handed Avis his gold fountain pen.
Mm-hmm.
She removed the cap and began to write. Oh, now, what the dickens? I thought I had the next page.
Well, isn't that it in your typewriter?
Oh, yes.
Well, go ahead, read it. You don't have to take it out of the typewriter.
Very well. And you listen, because it's exactly the way you dictated it.
All right.
Dearest darling, everything is ready for X Day. I have definitely learned the terms of his will, and they are even better than we hoped for.
Well, what's the matter with that?
Well, now, let me finish.
All right.
I have obtained everything we need for the job and will expect you around 10 o'clock the morning of X Day. I'm thrilled and excited because soon he'll be dead and we'll have all that money and each other. I'm your baby. That's all I've typed.
All right. What's the matter with it?
Well, for one thing, it's such terribly stiff writing.
But that's the way Avis would write.
Well, she still doesn't have to sign herself baby.
But baby is Larry's nickname for her.
Well, just the same, it makes her sound like a Bobby Soxer instead of a cold-blooded murderess.
Well,
And one other thing. The expression X Day is melodramatic. And...
Okay, Judy, okay.
Well...
Get out your pad. We'll rewrite it. Yes, Edgers.
Beg your pardon, sir, but Mr. Parker is here to see you.
Mr. Parker?
He says he has an appointment.
Oh, yes, yes, that's that insurance salesman, huh?
An insurance salesman?
Yes, he's been phoning me for weeks. Show Mr. Parker in here,
sir. Yes, sir. Right away, sir.
Mr. Caldwell, it's all very well for you to see insurance agents,
I know, Judy. The Corpse Has Wings is due with the publishers by the end of the month.
And we'll never make it at this rate.
Then why don't you get rid of him fast?
With pleasure.
Now look, I'll go into the next room. You tell him I'm out of town.
Will do. All right, Mr. Salesman.
Right this way, sir.
Right. Well, now, Mr. Hey, you're not Mr. Caldwell.
How'd you guess?
Why, I... You must be Mrs. Caldwell.
No, I...
My name's Dave Parker. I suppose Mr. Caldwell will be in soon.
Oh, no.
I'll just pull up a chair and explain some of the features of our policies to
him. Will you please listen to me? I'm not Mrs. Caldwell.
You're not? Well, now, this is a break.
I'm Mr. Caldwell's secretary. Mr. Caldwell has been called out of town.
Oh?
Yes. Good day, Mr. Parker. I said good day, Mr. Parker. Mr. Caldwell is out of town.
Okay, I'll wait until he gets back.
But he won't be back for 3 days.
Look, Blue Eyes.
blue eyes.
They are blue, aren't they?
Oh, that's none of your business. Oh,
but selling insurance is. And lots of private secretaries. Not all as cute as you.
Now, you see here.
Yes, ma'am. Lots of them have tried to brush me off with he's out of town or he just came down with whooping cough. I wonder why doesn't anybody think up an original excuse.
Mr. Parker, will you please leave?
Hey, suppose I don't, Blue Eye?
I'll have you thrown out.
By that anemic butler?
Mr. Caldwell himself will throw you out.
Oh, but he's out of town, remember?
Oh, honestly, I...
Well, well, Judy, and you were going to get rid of him.
Well, Mr. Caldwell...
Young man, I've been listening at the door, and I'm convinced that nobody has the endurance to match an insurance man.
Mr. Caldwell, maybe you'll thank me someday for not giving up.
I doubt it.
So do I. But we'll save time all around if I see you now. Judy, will you excuse me, please?
I'll be glad to. I'll be in the garden if you want me. And if you buy any insurance from that monster...
It's a very efficient secretary you have, Mr. Caldwell.
Yes, I think she's cute, too. But you wish to see me about insurance?
Mr. Caldwell, I want to tell you about our AAA policy. Now, if you'll just let me have a piece of paper, I'll explain it in terms of dollars and cents.
Go ahead, young man. Help yourself.
Thanks. Now, let's presume that you want a $50,000 policy.
Well, that's all right, Parker, except that you're presuming too much.
Why, Judy.
Oh, hello, Aunt Martha.
What are you doing in the garden? Isn't my nephew working this morning?
Oh, yes. Oh, but, Miss Caldwell, I hope you'll forgive me for calling you Aunt Martha. I'm so used to hearing Mr. Caldwell address you that way.
Oh,
that
that's all right, my dear. Someday I hope to be your real aunt.
What do you mean?
Judy, have you ever thought of marrying Crane?
Why, no.
My dear, I so much want to see him married. I'm getting on, and, well, Crane should have someone. He's very fond of you, Judy.
Well, I know, but I'm sure he never thinks of me as his wife.
Oh, I'm sure you're wrong about that. After all, you've been his secretary now for over 5 years.
Oh, but your nephew is more than twice my age.
And that makes less difference than you think.
Well, I do think the world of him, but...
Crane would make you very happy, my dear. He's wealthy, and more important, he's a wonderful man. He's done so much for me, Judy, and...
Well, I know, but...
Someday, I'll tell you all about it. It has to do with the murder.
Murder?
Do you remember the famous Hughes case?
No.
Oh, I forgot. You're too young. But, oh, dear me, there I go talking too much. But, my dear...
Yes?
You think over what I said, won't you?
Well, of course, but... Well, I'm afraid it's no use.
Now, Mr. Caldwell, there's also our famous all-protection policy.
You don't say.
If I may bother you for just one more piece of paper, I'll show you how it works.
You've used up all the paper.
Oh, well, gee, I...
Take the piece out of the typewriter. You can use the back of it.
Oh, swell. Now, I'll just... Say, this looks like a letter to somebody.
No, it's just part of a manuscript. It's got to be rewritten.
Oh, I see. Dearest darling, everything is ready for X-ray.
Young man, will you please...
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Caldwell, but I'm nuts about your books. Now, we'll say that you want $100,000 worth of insurance.
Take it easy, Parker.
Oh, but that's just the figure I'm using to explain the policy. Now, I'll just write down $100,000.
I'm sorry, sir, but it's time for your medicine.
Oh, thank you, Hedges.
Oh, pardon me, Mr. Caldwell, but are you sick?
Hmm? Don't worry, Parker. I'm insurable. Hedges, if you'll please.
Here, Hedges. I'll hand it to him.
Thank you, sir.
There you are, Mr. Caldwell.
Thanks. Oh, that's terrible stuff.
Would you like some water, sir?
No, Hedges. Never mind.
Very good, sir. I'll call you when it's time for luncheon.
Getting back to our all-protection policy, Mr. Caldwell, have you any idea of how little a $100,000 policy costs?
I
said that, have you any idea...
Hot in here, isn't it?
Why, no, I think it's... Mr. Caldwell. Look, Mr. Caldwell, if you think I should... Good heavens! Hey, where is everybody? Something's happened in here.
There's something wrong, sir. I thought I heard you.
I was talking to Mr. Caldwell and...
Wait, what's happened?
Mr. Parker, did you just call?
Miss Forrest, phone the police. Mr. Caldwell has been murdered.
tonight's Curtain Time play, starring Harry Elders and Anna Sargent with the Milky Way Players. And now, John Weigel.
Now that April is approaching, all of us are beginning to suffer from spring fever. That feeling that we would like to stop whatever we are doing and relax for a few moments. And one little treat that always means delightful relaxation and pleasure, no matter where you are or what you are doing, is the taste treat of a Milky Way candy bar. You begin to enjoy a Milky Way the moment you first open the crisp wrapper and notice that enticing scent of fine, pure milk chocolate. Then with each bite, you taste the thick milk chocolate coating, the golden layer of smooth, creamy caramel, and the soft chocolate nougat center, richly flavored with real malted milk. Together, the milk chocolate, creamy caramel, and soft nougat combine to give you that rare taste blend found only in a Milky Way. When you crave good candy, eat a Milky Way.
Second act of Lightning Strikes Twice, brought to you by the Milky Way Players. Two strange things have happened in the household of Crane Caldwell, the writer. His Aunt Martha spoke to Judy Forrest of a forgotten murder, and Caldwell died mysteriously while talking to Dave Parker, an insurance salesman. But now, about an hour later, Inspector Jackson of the Homicide Squad has taken charge.
Is everybody who was here at the time in this room right now?
Oh, well, sir.
Everybody except Mr. Caldwell's aunt.
She's in her room, sir, resting.
Oh, Inspector, you must realize how upset she is.
I do, Miss Forrest.
If you wish me to call, Miss Caldwell.
You're the butler, aren't you? What's your name?
Hedges, sir.
You stay here, Hedges, until I tell you to call, Miss Caldwell.
Do you mind if I leave now, Inspector? I've been here since this morning.
Inspector, don't let him go. How do we know who he really is?
Oh, but look,
Parker, Inspector. Parker, nobody's leaving this house till I say so. Now, according to the coroner, Caldwell died almost instantly.
Well, I told you that much.
But you didn't say that his death was the result of...
Of what?
Poison administered in his medicine.
Poison?
Good grief. Really, sir, this
Hedges,
is...
who besides you handled Caldwell's medicine?
Well, sir, twice a day, Miss Caldwell prepared the medicine and gave it to me to bring into the study.
That was the regular routine?
Except that today I wasn't about at the moment. So Miss Caldwell gave it to Miss Forrest.
Oh, she did she?
Inspector, you're making it sound like a crime. Besides, Hedges appeared in the hallway just as I was about to enter the study. I gave the glass to him.
That's right, Inspector. Hedges did bring it in.
So three people might have slipped poison into that glass.
Oh, but, sir, there were four.
Four?
Mr. Parker also handled the glass, miss.
Now, just a minute.
I was just about to hand the medicine to Mr. Caldwell, sir, when you grabbed it out of my hand.
I didn't grab it. The way we were seated, it was easier for me to hand it to Mr. Caldwell.
But you did handle it.
Well, I was just being helpful.
Which means that any one of four people might have committed this murder. Miss Forrest.
Yes?
You and Mr. Parker go into the next room and wait.
Well, I guess we may as well do what the man said.
And don't try to leave the house, understand?
We won't.
Hedges, bring in Miss Caldwell.
Wish to see me, Inspector?
Yes, Miss Caldwell, Haven't I seen you someplace before?
Why, I hardly think so.
Perhaps not. Miss Caldwell, your nephew was a rich man. Can you tell me who will inherit his money?
Well, I really don't know. His nearest relative, however, I assume I'll come into a large share of the estate.
I see. Aren't you rather wealthy yourself?
Hardly. I've been dependent upon my nephew for the last few years.
Is there anyone else who might gain financially by his death?
Well, Hedges has been with the family for years. I imagine he and Miss Forrest will be remembered in my nephew's will. But I'm sure their bequest would hardly be enough to make them commit murder.
Who would know the exact terms of your nephew's will?
Why, his attorney, Horace Prescott.
I'd like to talk to Mr. Prescott.
You can phone him if you wish.
I'll do that right now. Maybe I'll find out something interesting.
Well, it's been quite a day, hasn't it?
That's quite obvious.
Honestly, I just can't understand why anybody would want to kill Mr. Caldwell. He was such a good man.
Well, I'm sure lucky he didn't buy a policy from me.
Mr. Parker, I want to ask you something.
The answer, Miss Forrest, is that I didn't kill Mr. Caldwell.
I wasn't going to ask whether you killed him. What I want to know is why.
Oh, you take it for granted I did.
Well, somebody who was in this house at the time is the murderer, and you're the only stranger.
Miss Forrest, Judy, I didn't kill him. And I'm sure you didn't either.
Well, of course I didn't.
No murderer could look like you, baby.
Oh, now it's baby. You're full of pet names, aren't you?
Oh, sure, and I'll think up a lot more as we go along.
Say, I just remembered. Miss Caldwell was talking about a murder just a little while before...
This morning?
Yes.
Well, what'd she say?
Nothing. She started to tell me something and then changed her mind. Mr. Parker, have you heard of a famous murder case called...
Okay, you two. Come on back in here.
Right with you, Inspector. Judy, what murder case?
I'll tell you later. Oh, Judy, dear. Oh, Miss Caldwell, how are you feeling?
Thank you, my dear. Much better.
All right, Miss Forrest, what are you figuring on doing with the money?
Money? I don't understand.
Oh, yes, you do. Caldwell told you, didn't he?
Look, Inspector.
Didn't Caldwell tell you he was leaving you $100,000?
$100,000?
It's true, my dear. Inspector Jackson just spoke to Crane's lawyer on the phone.
But why should he leave me all that money?
Judy, after all, you were with my nephew for 5 years. He's merely rewarding you for your faithful service.
Inspector, do you think that I... In order to get this money...
Isn't what I think, Miss Forrest.
Inspector, you've got no right to insinuate that this
Parker,
girl...
Parker, it's just occurred to me that you've been pretty anxious to get out of here.
Now, just a second.
Couldn't be that you've still got some of that poison in your pockets, could it?
Okay, why don't you search me?
Inspector Jackson, would you mind if I went to my room? I'm rather worn out.
All right. But be sure you're around when I want you.
Of course, Inspector. Just have someone call me.
Okay. Parker, start emptying your pockets.
It's a pleasure. Here you are, wallet, handkerchief, piece of paper, fountain pen.
What's this paper?
Something Caldwell gave me to scribble some figures on.
Looks more like a letter from your girlfriend.
Except that I don't have a girlfriend.
That's not what she thinks. Dearest darling.
Oh, Inspector.
Everything is ready for X Day. I have definitely learned the terms of his will.
If you'll please listen to me.
And they are even better than we hoped for. I have obtained everything we need for the job and will expect you around 10 o'clock the morning of X Day.
Holy smoke, that sounds...
What time did you say you got here this morning, Parker?
Around 10 o'clock.
Inspector, I can explain that letter.
I'm thrilled and excited because soon he'll be dead and we'll have all that money and each other.
That letter's part of a manuscript.
Uh-huh, and I suppose this figure here, written pencil, is also part of it.
What figure?
This $100,000.
But that's the amount of the policy I was trying to sell Mr. Caldwell.
And it's also the amount of his bequest to Miss Forrest.
Oh, but Inspector...
Let me see that typewriter.
This letter was typed on this machine.
Well, I told you, it's part of...
Is this your typewriter, Miss Forrest?
Yes.
Did anybody else in the house ever use it?
Why, no, never.
Then you're under arrest.
Under arrest?
Now, see here, Inspector.
You're under arrest, too, Parker, for the murder of Crane Caldwell.
But, Inspector, if you'll just let me show you...
Go on and show him, baby.
That does it, Parker. This letter is signed, I'm your baby.
Oh, good grief.
Oh, honestly, you and your pet name.
Before we bring you the third act of tonight's Curtain Time play, starring Hattie Elders and Anna Sargent with the Milky Way Players, here is John Weigel.
All of us have different reasons for preferring our favorite treats. To candy lovers, a Milky Way candy bar is always a special thrill because in each bite of a Milky Way, you enjoy a rare flavor combination of the choicest candy ingredients. A thick milk chocolate coating, rich with the rare flavor of the finest pure milk chocolate. A golden layer of the smoothest creamy caramel. And a soft chocolate nougat center, abundantly flavored with real malted milk. It is this combination of the milk chocolate, creamy caramel, and soft nougat that makes each bite of a Milky Way a luscious treat. Right down to the last delightful flavor that lingers in your mouth. When you crave good candy, eat a Milky Way.
There's the call for the third act of Lightning Strikes Twice, brought to you by the Milky Way Players. Crane Caldwell died suddenly after taking some poison medicine. Later, Inspector Jackson found a letter in Dave Parker's possession in which a murder was plotted and immediately placed the young insurance salesman under arrest. We also arrested Judy Forrest, who under the writer's will would inherit $100,000. But now a moment after the close of Act Two.
Inspector, you don't understand.
This is a terrible mistake. I didn't write that letter to Mr. Parker.
We never heard of each other until this morning.
That letter was part of Mr. Caldwell's new book. Here, I'll show you.
Save it for the jury.
See here.
Look here, Parker, I've got to arrange transportation back to town for you, too.
Honestly?
I'm leaving the room for a minute. Let me warn you, there's an officer at every door and at every window with orders to shoot to kill.
Well, that's something pleasant to think about.
See here, you got me into this.
But you got me into it.
You put that letter in your pocket, didn't you? You called me baby, didn't you?
Yes, baby, but you didn't help things by inheriting all that money.
Well, I couldn't help that.
Okay. There's just one thing we can do. That's to find the real killer.
But how?
Well, I admit it's a narrow field, but we're going to jail in a couple of minutes if we can't stall Jackson.
Well, that's true, but...
You started to tell me something about a murder that Martha Caldwell mentioned.
Yes, she said it was called the Hughes case.
The Hughes case?
Then you've heard of it?
I'll say... It was a sensation about 20 years ago. I was just a kid then, but every so often it's still written up in the Sunday papers.
Oh, but what was it about?
Well, there was a Martha Hughes who was accused of...
Martha Hughes?
Say, you don't think that Martha Caldwell is Martha Hughes?
Well, I don't know. She'd
be just about the same age.
Well, tell me about the case.
Well, as I remember, Martha Hughes was accused of murdering her husband. She wasn't convicted, and nobody else was ever arrested.
Oh, it can't be the same person, Dave. Miss Caldwell's so sweet, and besides, she never would have harmed her nephew. She was too fond of him.
Well, we've got to tell Jackson about this just the same. It may save our necks.
All right, let's go, Parker. You too, Miss Forrest.
Listen, Inspector, I've got something to tell you. I may be able to lead you to Caldwell's killer.
I know who killed Caldwell.
Look, we think Martha Caldwell is really Martha Hughes.
Martha Hughes?
Yes.
I knew I'd seen that face before. I was a rookie copper at her trial.
Does that change your mind about us, Inspector?
Maybe, maybe not. But Walter Hughes also died from a dose of poison in his medicine. Maybe lightning does strike twice.
Inspector Jackson, I'll make no statements without my lawyer.
Okay. Won't talk. I know somebody who will. Hedges! Hedges!
Inspector, maybe you had better wait.
You leave this to me, young lady.
Look, Inspector, maybe
Did you call me, sir?
Hedges, I want to know how long you've known Martha Caldwell.
About 26 years, sir. When I came here, she lived with her brother, Mr. Caldwell's father.
Did you always know her by the name of Martha Caldwell?
Well, no, sir. I first knew her by the name of Martha Hughes.
Very well. I am Martha Hughes.
But, Miss Crandall, oh, why did you... My husband was a ne'er-do-well, and we lived here through the generosity of my brother. Shortly after the trial, my brother died without a will, and I was penniless.
Crane supported me all these years, and, Inspector, if you think I killed him...
I didn't say you did, Miss Caldwell, but still it's strange that he died in the same way your husband did.
Please remember that I was acquitted.
But they never found the killer. Say... Now, what's the matter with you?
Inspector, I can prove who killed Crane Caldwell.
Dave, are you sure?
How are you going to prove it?
Judy, didn't you and Miss Caldwell prepare Mr. Caldwell's medicine in the kitchen?
Well, not exactly. I was in the kitchen, but Miss Caldwell was in the butler's pantry.
Which means that neither one could see what the other was doing.
But Miss Caldwell fixed the medicine and handed it to Judy. Correct, Miss Caldwell?
Really, young man, this is a lot of foolishness.
Judy, take this ashtray.
Well, of course, but...
Pretend it's the medicine. Now, you took it from Miss Caldwell and started for the study. Then, coming through the hall, you met Hedges.
That's right.
Then you turned the medicine over to him. Hedges, take the ashtray.
Yes, sir.
Okay. What did you do next, Judy?
Why, I went back to the kitchen.
Uh-huh. And you, Hedges?
I came directly into the study, sir.
Right. I was sitting here, and Caldwell was there. Sit down, Inspector, and pretend you're Caldwell.
Oh, just a second.
Hedges, come toward me with the ashtray.
Yes, sir.
You start to hand it to Mr. Caldwell, but I take it instead.
Very good, sir.
And I hand it to Caldwell. Here you are, Inspector.
Well,
now, I give it back to Hedges, who leaves the room. Go over to the other side of the room, Hedges.
Yes, sir. Is this quite all right, sir?
That's fine. Now, a minute or two later, I notice that something's wrong with Mr. Caldwell. Before I know what's happened, he's dead. Then I called for help, and Hedges came running back into the room. Come on back, Hedges, and say what you said this morning.
Yes, sir. I said,
Is something wrong, sir?
Yes, I was talking to Mr. Caldwell.
Wait, what's happened?
Judy, this is where you came in.
Well, I said, Mr. Parker, did you just call?
And then I said, Miss Forrest, I think Mr. Caldwell is dead.
No, you didn't. You said, Miss Forrest, phone the police. Mr. Caldwell has been murdered.
How'd you know he'd been murdered, Hedges?
Only the killer knew then that Mr. Caldwell had been murdered.
Inspector, this man is insane.
Just the same, Hedges. You and I
are... Oh, he's got a gun.
Yes. And I'll kill the first one here that makes a move.
Hedges, then it was you who killed my husband.
Yes. You know why. I was in love with you. I couldn't stand it. So I killed him.
But why? Why did you kill Crane Caldwell?
Because after all these years, he'd stumbled onto the truth. He was just waiting for proof. And then, when Mr. Parker arrived, I was sure he was a police officer, posing as an insurance man.
Figured you were all washed up, didn't you?
I had some poison we used in the garden. And then before I brought the medicine into the study...
Look, Hedges, you can't...
Don't you move, Inspector. I've got nothing to lose now.
Thank you, Inspector, for this...
Wait, you...
Oh, James, don't hear me.
Good going, Parker. I've got the gun.
Well, Inspector, there he is. Judo's a handy thing, isn't it? I learned it in service.
Come on, Hedges. Up on your feet. And Parker, give me a ring tomorrow. I want to buy you the best dinner in town.
It's a date, Inspector. Do you mind if I bring a friend?
Glad to have you. And I think I know who the friend is. Oh,
goodbye, Inspector.
Bye. Come along, Hedges.
Mr. Parker, I don't know how to thank you. At last, I've really been acquitted.
That's thanks enough for me, Miss Caldwell. Judy, do you think Inspector Jackson really knows the name of the friend I'm bringing along tomorrow?
Well, I'm not sure, but...
Oh, Judy, do I have to start selling again? Of course, you are the loveliest prospect I've ever had.
Oh, go on. I bet you tell that to all your prospects, don't you, baby?
The curtain falls on the last act of Lightning Strikes Twice. Another Curtain Time play brought to you by the makers of Milky Way Candy Bar. Tonight, Curtain Time stars Harry Elders as Dave Parker and Nanette Sargent as Judy Forrest. The supporting players were Sidney Elstrom, Maurice Copeland, Lucille Laurel, and Arthur Van Harvey. The script was by Ralph Klein. The Curtain Time music is arranged by Bert Farber, and the entire production is directed by Harry Holcomb. And now, here are our stars with a word about next week's Curtain Time play.
Well, Pat, next week's play is a pretty complicated affair. You see, I'm a lawyer.
A very persistent one, Pat, who insists upon defending me when I don't want him to.
Well, that's an interesting situation. What's the play called?
It's called Mr. Justice Jimmy.
Well, believe me, I'm looking forward to it. Thanks and good night, Nana Sargent and Harry Elders.
Good night, Pat.
Good night.
Now I'll join this gay theater crowd as it leaves the merchandise mart. Many on their way to the glamorous after-theater spot here in Chicago. Until next week, then, this is Patrick Allen reminding you of your date every Saturday, same time, same station, when the makers of Milky Way Candy Bars present...
Good Time!
Broadcasting Company.